And he deserves our praise, for he alone is worthy. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, we're going to deal with verses 1 to 13. And we're in the series, as the book of Philippians, the key word is joy. The other key word is mind, thinking. The greatest joy stealer of all. Book of Philippians teaches us how to have joy. It actually tells us, and that's what the Bible does. When we're out in the world, we begin to think like the world. When we open the Word of God, it reprograms and gets us thinking right again. It turns the world the right way up. And it tells us here where to choose joy. It's a choice. The joy that Jesus said he came to give us. And he said, I come to give it to you abundantly. The Australian Psychological Society did a survey, and their report stated these things. One in four Australians reported moderate to severe levels of distress each year. In their latest report, similar to previous year's findings, younger adults 18 to 25 and 26 to 35-year-old age groups continued to report much higher levels of stress and distress compared with older Australians. Almost one in seven Australians reported depression and anxiety symptoms in the severe to extremely severe range. Similar to previous years' research and findings, younger adults continued to report significantly higher levels of depression and anxiety. As I read that research, I thought, is this because our generations that are younger know less about God? Have never heard of God? You know, you can go to a primary school into a class, and there'd be a class where children have never ever heard of Jesus Christ. They just think it's a swear word, nothing else. Would that be because there's less and less of a knowledge of God? That depression and anxiety is growing in the younger of our generations? In contrast to previous years, men significantly higher levels of anxiety than women. The causes of stress, the research document said, one, financial issues. Secondly, family issues. They were the two leading causes of stress among Australians. Similar to previous year's findings, issues around health were frequently rated as sources of stress for Australians with personal health issues. Issues with trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle, and issues with the health of a close loved one, commonly identified as a great source of stress. More than one in five Australians reported mental health issues as a source of stress. The family issues and issues related to personal finance were the leading sources of stress for women, while the leading source of stress for men were those about money. Do we have enough money? Mission Australia did a survey on young people, a great number of young people in Australia, and the young people were asked to rank how concerned they had been about a number of issues in their lives. Nationally, the top three issues of concern were, one, coping with stress, the stress of school, the stress of study. Secondly, body image. How do I look? With 4 in 10 respondents indicating that they were either extremely concerned or very concerned about coping with stress. It's interesting what's happened to our younger generation. They're stressed, they're anxious about being stressed. Body image was a quarter of them. One in five respondents were either extremely concerned or very concerned about depression, family conflict. The proportion of females concerned about each of these issues was much higher than the proportion of males. The number one joy stealer, the greatest destroyer of joy in the life, in your life, is worry. Worry. Corrie ten Boom used to say this about worry. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, it empties today of strength. Let's read Philippians 4, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind. In other words, stop arguing. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. Again, he says, I will say, rejoice. It's a choice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Notice those two words, nothing and everything, two extremes. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. This is where your mind should be thinking. The things which you learned and received, heard and saw in me, these do. Follow my example. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lack opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. Notice, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's an example you and I are to follow. We're to learn to be content no matter what's happening around us or to us. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, again, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul tells us this morning powerfully, the Living Bible puts it this way, don't worry about anything. That's what he says. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Be anxious for nothing. Just what is worry? What really is worry? Worry, literally, is tension between the mind, how I think, and the heart, the place of my emotions. The Bible tells us, remember, the just shall live by, not emotions. The just shall live by faith. How do I have faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So my mind is to direct me, not my emotions. If you're a person who lives by emotions, you are going to be up and a superstar. Then the next week you're going to be down in the dumps, up and down, up and down. That's not a way to live. The just shall live by faith. God is constant. Parents, you need to be constant in your discipline with your children. Not up and down on how you feel. I'm tired today. I won't discipline. Husbands and wives, it's not something about my love is an action. It's not an emotion. It's expressed in many ways as an emotion comes out, but love is an action. 1 Corinthians 13. It tells us what love is. It's the definition of what love is. 8 times the word mind is mentioned in the book of Philippians, that teaches us how to have joy, to choose joy. But why is it that so many of us choose to worry? Why do we do that? There is a message here, and it's about what we do with our thinking, how we think. It's the key. It's what you choose, Paul says. What does the Bible say about worry? It might surprise you. The Bible says that worry is bad soil for the Word of God. Matthew 13:22, Jesus tells us the story of the sower and the seed. Matthew 13:22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care, in the Old King James, New King James, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. No joy, no peace. Because they're part of the fruit of the Spirit. Worry, listen, it's more than what you and I dabble with it. Worry is sinful. When I worry, I am sinning against God. Can you imagine your children coming into the come home from school one day, they burst into the first of all, they knock on the door and you go, what's going on? Why are you not? Well, we just wondered if it's all right if we come in tonight. Well, what do you mean? You live here. Yeah, well, we're not sure whether we're going to be able to stay here or not tonight or what. And then they come in and go, can we go into our room? Sure. What are you going? Well, what about tea time? Will we be invited to eat? Are we able to eat at tea? Because we're not sure whether you're going to feed us tonight or whether we'll be allowed to. Will we be allowed to sleep in a bed tonight? You go, that's preposterous. That is exactly the way we treat God when we worry. It's exactly how we treat God when we worry. Worry is sinful. Jesus said it will make you unfruitful. A life void of joy. If you're a worrier, you're not a happy person. The trouble with our modern society is that we don't treat worry with the seriousness it deserves and requires. We need to treat it biblically. I don't care what you say or I say. And it's like when people come to me for counseling, I go, you know, you're coming to me. The only way that I can counsel you is to point to you to the passages of the Bible that deal with the subject that you're going through. Because I'm not God. I need to go to the Lord. You need to ask the Lord what His counsel is. If it's in the Bible and certain things, it's clear. That's what the Bible says. Wait upon the Lord. Seek your counsel from God. Biblical counsel is referring someone to a passage or to a book in the Bible. Go and read there. Pray and seek God's wisdom. We often, as Christians, allow worry to be a normal part of our life. When the Bible says it's the wrong way to think, for us to allow our minds to choose that path, that direction, is sinful. If you listen to people talk about it with one another, a couple of people talking, well, I know that I should not worry, but you know, I'm just the worrying kind. Let me throw in another word so we understand how this might work. What if we put something else in that sentence that the Bible tells us is not right? Well, I know I shouldn't steal. You know me, I'm just the thieving kind of person. We go, that's atrocious. There's no difference. It's wrong. The Bible says that's not what we should do. Worry is the king of joy stealers in your life. As we reflect back on the parable of the sower and the seed that Jesus taught, when we look at the word worry, I love the German language. It's very black and white. In the German language, the word worry is the word wurgen. I don't know how you pronounce it, W-R-G-E-N. It means to strangle, to choke. Philippians is the book of joy, choosing joy, and the key word is mind. In chapter 1, we're told to have the single mind, focusing on God and others. God will sort the rest. We're not to focus on ourselves. Chapter 1, focusing on God. Paul's in jail. He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about the church in Philippi, and he wants to please the Lord. He's not thinking about himself at all. In chapter 2, Paul told us to have the submissive mind. That is, no matter what's going on in my life, yeah, people, I'm in jail, but the gospel is still going out. The Lord's in control. This is where he wants me. And so God's sovereign over my life. So whatever is happening in my life, God's ruling over my life. So I don't have to worry about it. Well, where's this coming from and why is he allowing this to happen in my life? No, God's sovereign. So my mind is submissive. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's going to pray away from the disciples, he prays three times, Lord, if there be any other way, but not my will, but thine. That's the way we're to pray. He was totally submissive. Paul uses that example in Philippians where it says, Jesus laid aside his glory, laid aside all those things and became a servant, obedient unto death. In chapter 3, we're told to have the spiritual mind. What I'm to think on. This is where my mind should be, choosing these things. And in chapter 4, we're to have a secure mind. That is, today, I'm to be trusting God with my struggles, trusting in Him, He's going to deal with everything, and giving Him my worries. Peter says, to cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. The word worry, as the Germans told us, strangles our mind. Our thinking is choked, and it chokes out, worry chokes out the truth. It gets rid of it, doesn't allow it to work. It banishes truth from our thinking and from our life. And the truth that is banished when we worry is that, well, God won't get us through this. Why is this? You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm fearful, I'm stressing. God, what's going to happen? So I've banished the truth that God is with me, watching over me and caring for me, that He loves me. And now I'm not like that little child who said, well, are you going to feed me tonight, Mum? Or am I allowed to come to the table? And you go, what? You see, what happens then is we are unable to be fruitful when we distrust God and our minds become dull, entangled with the cares and riches of this world, and all you think about is the problem. All you think about is what's going to happen. This is not going to go good. What's going to happen? Oh God, we're worried. As I said, someone put it beautifully. He says, worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. And so the thoughts, cares and the riches of this world. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for this? What's going to happen about that now? You lost your job, or this is all the doctor said. What's going to happen about that now? What's going to happen now? What if? And we're that little child. Are you going to feed me tonight? I'm worried. Am I going to be able to stay here? Can I come in the house? The effect is that you become spiritually strangled, physically drained, and strung out emotionally. You become literally trapped by your own thoughts and fears, imprisoned. Didn't Jesus come, Luke chapter 4, to set those who are held captive free? Free from worry. Free from the prisons that we build ourselves. The strongest prison is the one you build for yourself. Keith, that's me. How do I become free of worry? How do I become fruitful spiritually again? How do I get joy back in my life? Paul tells us it's a choice. Well, how does that happen? Before we look at that and the answer that Paul gives, we need to make one very careful and valued decision before we go any further. Otherwise, all that I say, all that Paul says, all that Paul teaches will be of little use, no use. The first question you've got to ask yourself and answer yourself is, do you believe that the Bible is true? Do you believe that the Bible is true? Do you believe that the Bible is true? I can't fathom, and I deal with some ministers at some time who speak to me of our evolutionary thinking, and I'm going, what? You've just cast out the very reason and purpose and creator God. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And that's why evolution is man's greatest religion. It's the Babylon of today. Charles Darwin being the high priest. Ask yourself, do you believe that the Bible is true? Or do you just believe the bits of the Bible that suit you? Well, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. See, that bit I believe. Well, it's either all or none. It's all or none. It's everything. It's every part. It's not a bain-marie where you're going, oh, a bit of this. Because that's how cults start. Well, we're not into the devil. We don't want that bit. Let's have 144,000 just special. Yeah, we'll have that. What about the worship of cows? That's a good religion. We'll have that. What about if we get just, we can go back and have 7 and 8 time goes reincarnate? I have a bit of that. It's funny thing about reincarnation. It's not funny really, but it's funny how I think about it. Is that no one ever says, yes, in a past life, I was the toilet cleaner in Rome. That was my job. I worked at the Parthenon Colosseum. I was the toilet cleaner. No. Yes, in my past life, I was a prince. I was a general. What a load of nonsense. The Bible says we have one life. Then after that, judgment. You see, that's a lie that the devil has thrown in there. So do you believe that the Bible is true? Because if you don't, what I say, you might as well just get your stereo and put your headphone in and get your phone out and just text start Facebook until the end of this thing, because it ain't going to be worth two bob to you. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? 2 Timothy 3:16, that everything in here is God-breathed. It's inspired. If not, then you first of all must become born again and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is not a book you can pick up, go to the library and go, now I understand it. Because it's God-inspired, God-breathed, and it's the Holy Spirit who opens it up to us. And that's why as we read it, we go, and God speaks to us through His Word, Hebrews chapter 1. In the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus tells us about each one of the four types of hearers. The wayside, the seed fell down, went on the wayside. Remember when we went to the village of Nazareth? We saw how they had they would sow on those rungs of dirt going down. There'd be rocky soil, and we could see how the soil could go along, and you see it beautifully in the village of Nazareth. So the seed, sower throwing out the seed, and it falls on the wayside. The birds come down and eat it. Then some falls on the stony ground, the path between where they're sowing. And then some falls on areas where there's thorns growing, and then some falls on good soil. Jesus tells us about each of the four types of hearers that relate to the four soils. All heard the word of God, but only the one whose hearing and heart was good soil heard the word and understood it. In other words, they heard the word and understood what it meant and applied it to their lives. They lived it out. They put it into practice. And we see that it brought forth in these people's lives much fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Is that a life filled with worry? It's not. Because worry doesn't fit in here. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The fruit of the Spirit is the opposite way of living and thinking than worrying. You can't have both. The two bang heads. It's the war, Galatians chapter 5. one or the other. However, the one who allowed the word to be choked by the cares of the world, the worries of the world, heard the word, but obviously didn't believe it or didn't put it into practice in their lives, and their joy was strangled by the worries and cares, the finance, the family, the what the doctor said, it just choked everything. You got no joy. All you're doing is worry. Well, what's going to happen? Verse 6, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Is that pretty clear? Do you need me to read out the Greek in that? The Greek says, don't worry about anything. Instead, Paul says, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Is Italian. Someone here is from Italy. Yeah. Prego, prego. What's that mean? You're welcome? Yep. Beautiful. I love being... Here I am, world traveler. How long have I been in Italy once? I can tell you about it. It's the greatest food in the place in the world. And they say, prego, prego. What a wonderful... I don't hear anyone here in Australia go, you're welcome. Everyone answers, when someone says, you're welcome, you go, what was that? You're welcome? But over there, it's just done all the time. Don't forget, Paul says, to thank God for His answers. Pray, pray. Here is the key to getting your life back, a life of joy. Don't worry about anything, Paul teaches us. Instead, Paul says, pray about everything. A praying believer, a praying Christian, has joy, peace, trust. Why? Because they're praying, they're giving God their worries. So they're not taking them with them. They're not sticking them in their pockets. They're not just staying with God and going, oh, here's the problem, Lord. You know, but anyway, I know you're a big thing and I'm still worried about it. Oh, a fat lot of good the praying did. A non-praying believer, and sadly that's where the church is at today, you have your worries with you all the time because you're not praying. You don't give them to the Lord. You don't pray. It's like, well... Because, see, pray. People who pray, Christians who pray, believe that there's power and worth in praying, and that God answers prayer. And if you've been with us Wednesday nights, you would see that and hear of all the miraculous things that God has been doing because the people have been praying, and it's slowly growing. And I encourage you to change your life from a worrying, non-praying Christian, because that's what you are, to a praying person who has joy, because the two go hand in hand. Become a prayer, one full of joy. This verse that Paul tells us, don't worry about anything, is a command from God. It's not a suggestion. For your mental well-being and your physical health, and if you obey it, your spiritual health will overflow with joy. Jesus said, hear what Jesus said. Therefore, Matthew, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's a command. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They're the example, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, Jesus comes up with, here's the foolishness about worrying, which of you by worrying can add one cubit, that's Matthew 6, to his stature? So why do you worry, Jesus says. You can't get it. About clothing. Consider the lilies of the field. Because worry all does is it robs you. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like any of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? You see, it's the distrust. Oh, you of little faith. Because worry kills faith. Therefore, Jesus says again, third time, do not worry. It's a command. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Fourth time, therefore do not worry. Is he getting the point across? About tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Trust your concerns to God. So far as I know, no bird has ever tried to build more nests than its neighbor. Hey, get out. Come on, I'm doing some extensions out here. No fox has ever fretted because he only had one hole in the earth in which to live and hide. Anyone seen a good hole? I need another hole. On the market, real estate, one hole wanted. No squirrel ever died of anxiety lest he should not collect enough nuts for two winters instead of one. And no dog ever lost sleep over the fact he did not have enough bones buried in the ground for his declining dog years. Hi, I'm a stray dog, just thought I'd come to your house. I'm getting on in years. My owners don't look after me too well. I'm really trying to get some extra. You have a few bones I can borrow? I've got to look after myself over the coming years. You know, animals, can you imagine? Little birds out the front, we need more food. You know, dogs picketing all the streets. Cats couldn't care, they just waved their tail. What are the things that you are worrying constantly about this morning? List them. List them. Now, these are the worries, Paul says on one side of the page, they're your worries. He says, now transfer them, change the top title of worries and put them to prayers. Change the heading. Make them prayers. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And then relax, enjoy the goodness of God and watch him work through your life powerfully, miraculously. Give your worry to God as a prayer. Let God change your worry into prayer. The birds teach us so well how not to worry. Jesus said, they're an example. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value than they? Matthew 6:25. We have a light on the front lawn of our house. And there's these little swallows, little fellows that get up there often. And each time I'm up there, they're giving me the greatest sermon in the world. They're going, you're an idiot. There's nothing to worry about at all. You just need to know God like we know God. And they're singing and dancing around and everything like that. Look at that idiot. He's worrying about that. You are a drongo, slow learner. And they just sit there on that light thing and they're happy and they fly around. You know, I don't see them up there going, whoa. You know, stressing or strangling one another or blueing with one another. Birds teach us. Look at a bird someday and watch them. They tell you. They explain powerfully. God's in control. And they're so frail. They weigh nothing. God's in control. Jesus said, life is more than things. Life is more than things. Jesus said, you are of far more value to him than a bird, yet he attends the funeral of every sparrow. Jesus said, worry will do no good whatsoever. The danger of losing joy is when you have no faith in God. You no longer trust him to be able to care for you in everything, and you let then, therefore, you worry. Today, change your worry into prayer. Then what will happen? A miracle will occur in your mind, Paul says, because verse 7 tells us. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So worry is the connection between our mind and our emotions. Notice verse 7. What prayer and giving our worries over to God will do. The Greek language here is so clear, is what actually happens to our mind if we exchange worries for prayers with thanksgiving. The peace will keep, that word keep means garrison, set up guard, soldiers, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we dwell on our problems, our hearts and our minds become seriously affected. So much so that we go to pieces. We have a meltdown, a breakdown. No joy whatsoever. And this is Satan's strong point of attack. That is, for you to have a distrust of God and to make you worry. Of God's ability to be able to deal with your problem or problems. If we, however, we hear and obey what Paul is telling us this morning and trust God with those things that trouble you, that you worry about, where you keep worrying about them because you think God will let you down in, God will give you a peace that will watch over your heart and your mind to prevent any successful attack on that area by the enemy. That's God's job. I like that. The world cannot give you this peace because it comes from the Lord. No doctor can prescribe it. No therapy can grant it. No medication will match it. So be careful for nothing. Prayerful about everything. Thankful for anything. The end of worry is prayer. The end of prayer is peace. When I change my worries into prayers, what happens? There is no pressure, for I am careful for nothing. You know, many of us talk about grace. It took a great conflict in my heart, a struggle that Helen and I went through when we went through a church split one time, that I actually learned about grace. It was the most difficult period of my, and I think Helen's spiritual lives, where people said things to us that were very hurtful. But I learned grace, and it was the book of Philippians that I learned it in at that time. And I learned about God's grace. So I chose joy. I changed the way that I would think. You see, there are no restrictions when I am not worrying and I'm praying, because I am prayerful in everything. There are no complaints. I'm not complaining to God. How come? Why? Why? What about this? Because I am thankful in everything. I'm so thankful for God. You know, isn't that what we should spend most of our time now in prayer about? How much we need to thank God. Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your marriage. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your health. Thank God. There's so much to thank God for. Thank God for the food. Thank God we have a nice church to dwell in this morning. Thank God we live in Australia. There's so much to thank God about. So Paul tells us in verse 8, to replace the space that used to be taken on our hard drive with the worries with new data. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, what? Think about these things. Paul mentions six categories of things we should feed our mind with. Things that are true. 92% of what people are worried about are either imaginary or never happen. 92%. Things that are honest and just. Things that are worthy of respect and right. Things that are pure, lovely, and good report. That's moral purity. Lovely like God's creation. Of good report. Things that are worth talking about. Virtue and praise. If it has virtue, it will motivate us to do better. If it has praise, it's worth commending to others. Right praying, right thinking, right living will remove worry from its place of power, and it dominates some of your lives, doesn't it? And will turn them into answered prayers. You keep them, you worry about them, and God says, if only you'd give it to me, if only you'd trust me, I'd sort it out. What a blessing and miracle work of God He will do if you apply God's word to your life this morning, today, this week. God's peace, he says, he promises, will rule over your mind. I love that. And he will keep his blessed peace on your mind. He'll watch over it. Are you worried about the coronavirus? Well, yeah, it's got a pandemic. Maybe you are. The world is, isn't it? Are you worried about life itself? You struggle just. I worry just about living. Are you worried about your marriage? Are you worried about your kids? Are you worried about your health? Are you worried about a loved one? Hear what Jesus said. God didn't just come and send his son just to save us. There's so much the more. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. What will he give? He says, I personally will give you rest. There's nothing like rest. How many people want rest today? Maybe you today, you go, I am just worn out. I'm just done. When was the last time you sat in the presence of the Lord? Jesus then said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, the place of your emotion. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As the worship team has come up, maybe it's distracted you a little bit. Let's all point to them and laugh. Then we'll all get back onto this. This is a serious issue today. It's a serious issue in your life. Worry is killing you. Jesus came to give you life. It's time for you to come to God, to rest from your fears. You're not God. You can't do anything anyway. To rest from your fears, your sins, your guilt, your worries, the place to go is to go to the Lord. And I pray that you do it today. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are on your own. You're on your own with yourself. But God came so that you wouldn't be on your own. He came to suffer and die, to take your judgment, the judgment that sat on you, and he placed it upon himself. But you must receive his forgiveness. You must come to him and say, Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Ask him to forgive you. Believe that he died on the cross in your place, that he rose from the dead, paid the penalty, and that you want to give your life, commit your life to Christ today. The important message is for you today is that don't delay. Why live another day worrying? Why live another day apart from God? Will you respond to God's call on your life this morning? Or will you just pack up your worries and head home again? Sit in that rocking chair, rock back and forward, not sleep tonight. Be concerned again, and load on them more, and God will go, oh, if only you would give them to me. If only you would give them to me. But that's you. You've got to choose them. If you'd like prayer today, if you'd like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'll pray with you today, give you a Bible. Will you respond to God's call on your life this morning? Will you put a stop to worrying today? It's a choice. We had the table. The power of God is to bring peace to a sinner's heart. Know that his sins are forgiven, that he's no longer lost, that he's now loved, and that God is with us at every moment and every step. But stand and worship.